Thank you. We're joined as usual by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
Maureen Moakley is away this week. Filling in for her is a Providence-based reporter for the Associated Press, David Klepper. Hello, David.
Hello, Ian. It's always a pleasure.
And we're pleased to welcome our special guest, the governor of Rhode Island, Lincoln Chafee. Thank you for joining us, Governor.
Thank you, Ian. It's a pleasure.
The budget unveiled this week by Governor Chafee is drawing mostly positive reactions. The spending plan includes no new taxes. It also proposes cutting Rhode Island's corporate tax from 9% to 7% over 3 years. So tell us, Governor, did you decide to go in a different direction from your previous two budgets because of the harsh and critical reaction the previous budgets had attracted?
Ian, that's a false statement, going in the different direction. You should know that this is the consistent, especially with my FY12 budget, where I lowered the sales tax, broadened and lowered the sales tax, which I did not do in this budget, but I lowered the corporate tax in my FY12 budget. Last year being a election year, I couldn't be so bold. It's usually in these off-year elections, but it's very consistent with my previous two budgets in trying to lower these taxes to be competitive.
How about that, Scott? Is the governor offering a different type of budget here, or is it pretty consistent with what he's done before?
Well, it may be the same philosophy, Governor, but one of the things you did was generate an enormous pushback from the business community when you attempted to broaden the sales tax to items that previously weren't covered. We saw the lobbyists at the State House. We saw some elements in the press going a little perhaps overboard on it. And then last year, you attempted to bump the rooms and meals tax, the restaurant tax, a little bit by a penny or so. And we saw a big pushback from those folks. So it seems to me that this year with no taxes, you seem to be getting a better reaction than you did previously.
Well, we had a huge deficit to pull out of. And with the strengthening economy and, most importantly, in running the state well, now we can afford not to have tax increases while investing in those economy-building areas that I so firmly believe in: education, infrastructure, workforce development, and the strength of the cities and towns. That's very, very consistent. So I pride myself in being consistent.
Well, we heard a positive reaction from the two important people in the General Assembly, House Speaker Gordon Fox and Senate President Teresa Pivoweed. David, do you think that will lead the General Assembly to make less severe changes to the governor's budget than in years past?
Yes, I do. Both the Senate president and the House speaker told me that this was their favorite of the budgets they've seen under this administration. They like the corporate income tax reduction. They said they may quibble over some of the details in the budget. That's normal. That's natural. That happens every year. But I think with the early arrival of this budget, with the lack of a tax increase, we're going to see a much more pleasant discussion and a much easier time in approving a spending plan.
Governor, your budget includes $3 million for a workforce development program. The idea is to provide a 50% match for companies to hire apprentices. How much of an impact do you expect this to have in reducing Rhode Island's persistently high unemployment rate?
Well, everybody wonders how it can be that employers are looking for people and then you have unemployed people looking for work. Can't we match these two up? So that's why I want to make this more of an initiative for the state. We really, as a state, have not invested in workforce development. And so really, for the first time, as George Nee says on the Governor's Workforce Board over and over again, let's have the state participation in this all-important area of closing that gap between employers looking for people and people looking for work. Let's match those two up. So yes, this is a good start. Internships do work. It's a 20-week apprenticeship in which you learn the company, the companies learn you, and so often people get hired out of these internships. It's a good program, so I'm very excited about it.
David, we're seeing more focus on the economy, not just from the governor, but also the legislative leaders. Do you expect this to make more of a difference in improving Rhode Island's economy over the next year?
Well, I think we'll have to wait and see what comes out of the General Assembly. We've had just a whole long line of reports. We're having a summit in the House to hear from various economic leaders from other states. But we've yet to see any real legislation that's been introduced so far that would make a big dent. I think the results, we may have to wait and come back and talk about this in May.
Scott, let's give the governor his due. He has consistently sounded a message of investing in education and the infrastructure, and he's done that with a couple of his budgets. Where do you see this headed?
I see a couple of good things on the horizon. First of all, there's going to be some money in there to build and restore some buildings at Rhode Island College. We have this very large 500 construction worker job, runway expansion and safety project down at Green Airport in the governor's hometown of Warwick. We have a proposal to, and funded by the voters, to rebuild the veterans home out in Bristol. So I think one of the things we're seeing is real jobs that are going to come to people and hopefully bring down the unemployment rate, particularly among men in construction work. And we know that's a high number right now.
Governor, in presenting your State of the State address, you called the property tax the greatest barrier to improving Rhode Island's economy. Your budget includes $30 million meant to offer property tax relief. What can be done more substantially going forward to address the negative effect of the property tax in Rhode Island?
Well, just to have a focus on it is a start. And I, of course, as I said in the State of the State address, I sound like a broken record because I've been on this issue since I came into office as governor to help the cities and towns, and particularly with property tax relief for businesses and homeowners. And that's the most onerous tax, the most difficult tax to pay. If you're out of work, you're not paying income tax. A sales tax, you have some control over. You can hunker down and just spend on those exempt items, the food and clothing that are exempt from sales tax. You're not paying sales tax. But the property tax, you fall on hard times. The tax collector walks up your door and rings the bell and says, pay me or I take your house. And for a small business, if you're struggling, it's part of your overhead. So I really firmly believe that this is the not only the most onerous tax, but the one in which Rhode Island ranks low nationally. Nationally, we rank in the middle of the country on sales and income tax. Once you compare apples to apples, as I said, in the State of the State. But the property tax is where we're really ranked poorly nationally.
Scott, speaking of the sales tax, we see how Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick is proposing cutting the sales tax in Massachusetts and raising the income tax. Do you think that'll have an adverse effect on what Governor Chafee is trying to do here in Rhode Island?
Well, it's a good question for the governor. I mean, what you try to do is be consistent and give businesses some, you know, probability and stability they can look forward to. However, your other imperative is to try to keep the tax rates between Rhode Island and Massachusetts relatively equal. So you get a curveball thrown at you. Deval Patrick mentioned the exact same things as you did, infrastructure, education. But what he's saying is he's going to raise his income tax now above Rhode Island's is what he wants to do. However, cut the sales tax to 4.5%. Now, what that does is it takes all the retailers along the Rhode Island-Mass border and puts them at a disadvantage.
Yes, you said curveball. I was surprised to hear that. The sales tax, such an aggressive move. And I'll have to look at the specifics. As I did in my FY12 budget, I expanded the sales tax into some service areas and was able to lower it with the whole goal of being competitive with those border stores and the like, with Massachusetts in particular, up there in Route 6 and the Seekonk border up there to be competitive. And across all across Rhode Island, even down in Connecticut. But I'll have to see whether Governor Patrick is proposing to get into the services as I did in order to lower it so aggressively down to what, 4.25 is what he's
proposing?
4.5. So we want to stay competitive. We'll have to look at this. This is a curveball.
David, we've heard the governor portray himself as a champion of the cities and towns. How much of an impact do you think this $30 million in proposed property tax relief statewide will do in helping cities and towns to relieve the property tax burden?
I think it could have a significant impact because we have so many cities and towns that are facing cash flow problems where just a few million can make the difference really in paying their bills from week to week, making salary and really getting off the starting line in terms of turning their finances around.
Governor, we know that politics is also about personality. You seem very relaxed and confident as you gave your speech this week. Was there something different for you in presenting it?
Well, just the fact that our economy is rebounding and the building blocks that I've built on in my previous two budgets are working. I'm just feeling good about the economy, and that's how we're able to have this good budget with no tax increases, no fee increases, lowering the corporate tax, investing heavily in those areas I think will serve us well, believe strongly they'll serve us well in the future. I'm very confident about the economy, and if this budget's passed, how it will serve Rhode Island well, not only in the immediate future, but the distant future, which I care deeply about.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us on Political Roundtable. Scott?
Thank you.
David Klepper from the Associated Press.
Thank you as always.
And the governor of Rhode Island, Lincoln Chafee.
Thanks, Ian.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoy the conversation, please visit our On Politics blog at ripr.org.